speak to others what it spoke to me, that what people need out of it, they'll receive. What they don't, that just go by the wayside, that people would be blessed, that you'd use this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was asked to speak a while back, and I had some stuff that I thought I was going to speak about, and then the last 2 weeks, just this story just kept mulling around in my head from Genesis. So kind of just changed everything. So, and actually, I don't think it should be called Reverse the Curse. I wrote that, and I was like, I think it was because there was a Disney movie a while back. I think it was Into the Woods, where they kept saying, Reverse the Curse. And so I think that's what was in my head. But really, that's not what it's about. It's more about living outside of the curse or in the freedom of the life, the tree of life, and you'll see. So, and I didn't put all the scripture I wanted on here, so I might go to my phone a little bit. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put man, the man he had formed. He made all kinds of beautiful trees to grow there and produce good fruit. In the middle of the garden stood the tree that gives life and the tree of the knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Okay, skipping forward, God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. And then skipping some more forward, God commanded the man, you can eat from the tree, from any tree in the garden, except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. Okay. And then, got a few scriptures here. Did it go forward? Yeah. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat of that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging from the way, all the way from good to evil. And then verse 6, she saw that it was pleasing to the eye and that she would know everything, so she ate of it. I'll fill in some more of this. I don't have all the scriptures. So she eats of this apple. She gives it to her husband. Then God finds them, and he's like, where are you? And she says, I heard you in the garden, or they say, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. They make clothes for themselves. And God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? We'll go over this stuff in a minute. I'm just setting the stage. Then he says, because you listened to your wife and ate of that tree, I don't want to hear people make wife jokes off this. Anyway, and ate from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from. The very ground is cursed because of you. You will be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk until you return to the dust of yourself. So basically, big curse put on them. So, they don't talk about it here, but the devil was kicked out of heaven because he tried to take God's role. And then he gets down here on earth, and what does he do? He tries to get us to do the exact same thing. On earth, he tries to take God's place again through man. How? So, God planted the garden, and let's go to before the fall and after the fall. God planted a garden. And he planted the garden. Man didn't have to plant the garden. But then man's cultivating it, and he's working alongside with God. So in the beginning, God was meant to do the kind of the hard work, and we were meant to work alongside of him. He was going to provide, but we were meant to work alongside with him. Work was not the curse. Work was a blessing. It was going to be a beautiful thing that we did alongside with God. And we're walking in the garden with God. We're interacting with God. We're naming the animals. We've got jobs. There's the tree of life before the fall. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. We were meant to eat from the tree of life. We were meant to have life. Life. And think about it later on. God says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why was it fruit on that tree? And I was thinking about this. Because we are made to be hungry for something. You can either be hungry for life, or you can be hungry for knowledge. There's probably other things you can be hungry for, but it kind of goes down these paths. Why was the knowledge of good and evil bad? I got thinking about this. And again, this is just my take on this. If you disagree with me, this is okay. Because it was a role we're not meant to do. Because it was, when they ate of that tree, that was the birth of morality. Us deciding what's good and evil. I mean, how often do we hear in Washington, they're marching on Washington because of feminism or because of racism or because of, well, pro-life, that's a good thing, we agree with that, but then they're marching because of homosexuality or they're marching because of the war. We took on the role of God. Now we're going to decide what's good and what's evil. Do you know how stressful that is? I think this was when anxiety was birthed, because we were not meant to take on the role of God. And when you try to take on the role of God, how many of us have tried to control everything? We're not meant to do it. And that's why it brings death, because emotionally, mentally, we were not meant to live like that. We were not meant to have to put this big judicial system together and decide what's right and what's wrong. But because when they took that bite of that tree and they chose to be like God, they were taking on a role that wasn't theirs and then birthed morality, the knowledge of good and evil. Didn't say you'll know what to do with it. Before the fall, man and woman were referred to as man and woman. They didn't have names. We'll get to that in a minute. And before the fall, they were naked and without shame. God covered them. They didn't see their own nakedness. They didn't see the other person's nakedness. They didn't judge themselves. They didn't judge the other person. They didn't need to give themselves an identity. So, after the fall, man then begins to have to toil and work the ground, striving. Work is no longer something they're doing alongside God. It's no longer a blessing. They're striving. You have to work hard from dawn till dusk, pulling out thorns, working against the land. It's fighting back against you. And I'm sure we've all had jobs where we feel like that, right? Where you're working so hard at your job, but it's like everything's fighting against you. We weren't meant to take God's place. And when they ate that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we took on that role, in a sense. We took on the very reason Satan was kicked out of. I'm recapping too, because Henny just walked in a little bit. So they took on the role that God had not meant for them. So we've got the striving under the curse, and then the knowledge of good and evil brought death. Man tries to take God's role. I went into that. So man and woman give themselves names after the fall. Suddenly they don't know their own identity anymore, so they have to give each other names, which brings on a whole nother thing. This issue with before the fall, there was no issue over identity. They didn't need to give themselves names. And they didn't notice that they were naked. There was no noticing of nakedness of self or of the other person. There was not judgment of one another. And again, these are all things that really God should be doing. Like, God's our provider. God is the one who should know knowledge of good and evil and decide what is right and wrong. We were just meant for life. We were meant for life. We should have our identity in God and not need to label ourselves and have someone else label us. Because I believe they named each other even. I didn't put that scripture up. But it's like, have you ever felt like you just need someone to I used to struggle with this a lot. Like, tell me I'm okay. What's good about me? Am I cool? Or am I fun? Or, like, why do we need people to do that? That's all part of the curse. So they had to cover themselves. Before that, God was their covering. That's why they didn't need clothing. That's just my take on it. And so just a little point off the side of this is when God comes into the garden and he's looking for them, he knows where they are. But what does he ask them? He asks them, where are you? Why do you think he needed to ask them where they were? I was thinking about this. Because they needed to take responsibility for where they were at. I think a lot of times things happen in our lives. This is a big thing for me. And it's really easy to be the victim. it's really easy to say, well, I'm here because I've got a bad boss, or I'm here because I had a hard childhood. And those things are valid. But we can't step out of repeating the same processes that we keep taking on in our life if we don't take responsibility for where we're at and our role in it. And that has been a huge thing that God has shown me in my life. Everything I'm saying today is stuff that I've struggled with, and I'm going to share that in a minute. So he asked them where they were at so that they could take responsibility. But did they? No. No. They said, you know, we heard you coming and we were afraid and we were naked, so we clothed ourselves. And he's like, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree? Again, giving them a chance to say where they're at. And then what do they say? They blame shift. They blame shift. The serpent gave me it. My wife gave it to me. You know, nobody wants to take any responsibility in this situation. And God has just been showing me that this is kind of a side tangent with this, but whenever situations come in my life, even if what happens to me is not my fault, my reaction to what happens is 100% mine. It's not someone else's. I can freak out and throw a fit because something unfair happened, or I can say, okay, God, what can I do in this? What can I do? How can I make it better? How can I help? Because as long as we play that victim role in things, and I'm not saying horrible things won't happen, there are horrible things that happen, and you can certainly hurt in that, and you can certainly do what you need to process through that. But there has to be a point where we step out of that role of being a victim and find the courage to conquer. And that's a really hard place to come into. But if we don't, then we'll keep repeating certain processes in our lives. So what? How do we apply this to us? I've talked about this a little bit, but I really feel like it's time for us to eat from the tree of life. And I feel like we are, but I feel like God just wants us to really get a hold of that. Then instead of playing God in our lives and eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I'm not saying that knowledge and understanding is bad, but it's a trick of the enemy. Humanism, running after knowledge. I've fallen into it. I love going to school. I'm like the nerd that like loves being in college and all that stuff. But the pursuit of these things, trying to make ourselves better through these things, we can get so caught up in it that we're taking on God's role for our lives. And when we take on God's role, we're not made for it, and it brings death. We are made to eat from the tree of life and to take on life. 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 That's what he wanted for us. He wanted to walk in the garden with us. He wanted to work alongside of us, and he wanted us to have life. Life. Not striving, not toiling. Just to go back for a second, one of the other curses was pain in creation. Before the fall, God spoke it and it happened. After the fall, a woman gives birth and it's painful. And just a little side note for anybody who's artistic, you can come out of that curse, because I think many artists and people, when they're in that creative process, they feel pain. There's a struggle. And a lot of times, the best artists are people who have a lot of pain in their lives. And maybe I'm making this up, but I really just think that God wants us to be free of that pain of the creative process. But anyway, so he wants us to have life. He wants us to stop shifting blame and take responsibility for ourselves. He wants us to be honest with God about where we are and not hide from him. He wants us to not strive, but allow him to provide for us. Allow him to go back to where it was life and he was going to provide for us and we worked alongside of him. He wants us to not need other people to tell us our identity. He wants us to just live in who he is with us, just walking in life. So a little bit about me when it refers to this, because I feel like really felt like I should share this story and what led me to see all this stuff. After I had Sasha, I got postpartum really bad, and bunch of bad stuff happened in my life, like stuff that I really haven't shared publicly, but just really bad stuff. And they put me on meds, and it was a catastrophe, a mess. And then I seemed to get better, and then I had Willow, and it kind of hit again, and meds again. And I kept getting off of them. And then at some point, I was off of them, and then Jenny Pivot, do you guys remember Jenny Pivot, Nikki Catterley's mom? She was killed in an accident around that same time. I think it was the same year. Joel Heilman's wife, Anna, died of cancer. And Sandy Hook happened, where that man came in and did what he did to all those innocent children. And something kind of snapped inside of me and felt like God doesn't take care of his people. God doesn't take care of innocent people. How could he not stop that man from killing those little children? Why did they have to die like that? And Jenny was just sitting there, and that man plowed her over in her vehicle. And Anna wanted to live, and she didn't. And I felt like God doesn't look out for me, because bad, horrible things happened, and he didn't stop them. And I prayed. I prayed for Anna. And I began to feel like I had to control everything. I started having trouble going to the mall because I was afraid of active shooters. I know I'm going to sound crazy here. You guys could see a little. I'm going to open my crazy box for you. And I started having trouble eating at restaurants. And if I ate at a restaurant, I had to sit by an exit. And if I was at the mall, I knew where all the exits were. And dropping off my kids to school was like, ugh. And I became a nervous wreck. I was so filled with anxiety. I would have panic attacks all the time. I had Xanax in my purse wherever I went. We were going to go over to England. I was so sure that we were going to all die on that plane, and I'd have to watch my children's faces as we plummeted to our death. Took Xanax on the way there, kicked back 2 glasses of wine. I'm sorry, it's the truth. And I was super zen on that airplane flight, by the way. But It was not a good kind of zen, but that was me trying to control things, trying to play God. Like somehow I was going to play dodgeball with death. And that's what I felt like it was. I didn't feel like we had any control over anything. I felt like death was something you played dodgeball with, and I had to outsmart the dodgeball thrower. And it was doing me in. The anxiety and the fear and the struggle to every day control everything. And I took my kids out of school and put them in homeschool. That's how bad it was. And Sasha doesn't know some of this, and, you know, it is what it is. And I was praying, and I was like, God, set me free of this. I feel like I'm going to go to a nut house soon, like I really did. And, you know, I put on a brave face in front of people, but inside I was like, I'm a catastrophe. And the devil would tell me, you're weak. You can't handle these things. How come other people can function? And I wanted to trust God, but I didn't feel like I could. I was afraid that if I trusted God, something bad would happen, and I wouldn't be ready for it, and it would hurt even more. So I was praying, and I was begging God to help me. And then something hit me. You're living like you're dead. You're not going out places. You're keeping your kids from things. Your life has already been robbed from you. That bad thing that you're afraid of hasn't happened, but you're living in this utter fear all the time. It's like you're dead. Remember, it said that if you ate of that tree, you're dead. I was trying to control things instead of trusting God. And it just hit me all of a sudden. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. And some people never live. And I decided to just trust God. And I put my kids back in school. And there were days where it was really hard. But the more I chose to trust God, the easier it became to trust God. Do I still have some yucca days? Yep. Yeah, I do. But my mental state now compared to then is a world of difference. And it's all because I chose to just embrace living. And God took me back to, he said, you know, your mom was going to name you Jacqueline, but her Bible kept opening up to Esther. And then all the scripture came back to me. She said, if I die, I die. If I die, I die. And I just thought, those little children that died at Sandy Hook, they were still alive. They still had life. They still have beautiful memories. Yeah, it's not good how they died, but they had life. And the life they had was many more days than that moment. And they are not that moment. And how you die is not who you are. And the bad things that happen to you don't have to make you who you are. So Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. When he died on that cross, he was the resurrection and the life. He became the redemption for us to get back to that tree of life and eat from it. So the reason I share this today is I don't know what everybody else struggles with. But I think that we all have this, I think it's human nature to want to take the reins. We don't even know we're doing it half the time, I'm pretty sure. I don't know when I'm doing it. But I want to encourage you today that it's totally normal to have fears and to have anxieties. But we can go to God and allow him, and this is ABC stuff. Everybody here knows this. But we can go to God and allow him to just take back the role that's his and not meant to be our burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because he was meant to carry the burden of provider and taking care of us. And I was even a little bit scared to share this today, honestly, because I was like, great, if I share this, is something bad going to happen to me? But, you know, will I be able to handle it? But I'm really thankful to get back the life that I have gotten back. And it's okay if we struggle some days with those past things, because we can keep going back to him. That's what I've got.